I'm back.
Yes, I can hear you fine. Mr. Chair, I think the staff is ready. We had a little problem where the webinar crashed on us, and people are still rejoining. We did have over 100 participants before. We're up to about 90 or so now. I don't know if you want to give them a couple more minutes to sign in or go ahead and start. I think we have, I'm not sure we've got all council members, but we have at least a quorum of council members, that's for sure.
All right, I think why don't we start back up? I see people clicking on as we're just talking here, and because we're certainly substantially behind on our work here. So I think why don't we start back up, and as people join, they can catch up with us.
So I think we are ready to go, and I think Mr. Alexander is back on and should be able to speak.
Sounds good. I'll turn it back over to Chairman Alexander.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So Jamie thankfully has sent me a list of motions to make. So we'll start out. We'll go from there.
Great.
I don't know if she sent them to you too, Sherry, or not. But in section 4.2.1, dockside monitoring. Oh, she did. Thank God. just like in section 4.2.1, dockside monitoring program, sectors and common pool, 4.2.1, no action, option one.
Needs a second. Seconded by Cherie Patterson. Little rationale, Mr. Alexander?
I'd love to be able to rationalize this. You know, I think it's an important aspect of it, but I'm going to lose that fight, so I'm not willing to make it. The council's rationale on this was that they were afraid it was going to cost the crews money. But it was going to be too expensive, too cumbersome. So that was the original intent. That was the original rationale. So I'm going to go with the original rationale put forward in the preferred options, John.
Great. Thank you very much. Out to the audience first. Seeing none in the audience, back to the council, Mr. Balzano.
We had one audience member, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Allison Lawrence.
Allison Lawrence, sorry about that.
She's self-muted.
Hi, Allison. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yep, yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to say that CLF does not specifically support or oppose this motion. We do see value, though, in the use of a randomized dockside monitoring program that can improve accountability in the fishery consistent with the goals and objectives of Amendment 23. To the extent, though, that this interferes with funding for 100% at-sea coverage, the council should prioritize at-sea monitoring. We believe that dockside monitoring should be available to sectors, though, if they choose to supplement otherwise required monitoring. And we urge the council to analyze the utility of dockside for vertically integrated businesses. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. I see no other hands in the audience. Back to the council.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Terry, does this pertain to just ASM? Because in the full retention EM, isn't there a dockside monitoring component?
There is, but I think that's an EFP, Vincent, so I'm not sure if that matters here or not. You have to be in an EFP to do that. So I guess I'd defer to maybe Mr. Petney.
Mr. Petney, if you could comment on that, if not, Dr. Cornan?
Yes, sorry, Mr. Chairman. Yes, the max retention EM model requires DS dockside monitoring. That is a component of the MREM, max retention EM program. This motion does not remove that requirement. It just would apply to the groundfish fishery writ large.
Thank you very much. Dr. Cornan's hands up.
Just to expand on that a little bit, by selecting no action, that does not change the sector's ability to, in their existing monitoring plans, establish a dockside monitoring program if they wish to do so and see if that can be approved. And that is accurate that with the maximum retention model currently described, that it includes a dockside monitoring component.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Sissonwine.
Yes, I'm going to oppose this motion, although I expect it to pass. But the bottom line is, it just seems to me to be going backwards to exclude a dockside monitoring option. It's an important component of compliance monitoring in most fisheries that I'm aware of. I know that there's been some very bad experience with it in this region for this fishery, but I would have been much more pleased if people dissected what the problems were and fixed them rather than throwing out what's potentially a more cost-effective option. So I oppose this motion, although I fully realize it'll probably pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Denise, please call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the motion on the board, answer yes, no, or abstain. I'm going to start at the other end this time. Mr. Tracy. Mr. Tracy.
Sorry, took me a minute, but yes.
Dr. Sissonwine.
No.
Mr. Reed.
Yes.
Ms. Griffin.
Yes.
Mr. Penteney.
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo.
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski.
Yes.
We didn't really hear you, Mr. Olszewski.
Sorry, yes.
Dr. McKenzie.
No.
Ms. Ware.
Yes.
Mr. Salerno. Mr. Salerno. You need to unmute yourself, Dan. Ms. Patterson.
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey.
Yes.
Ms. Eitri.
Yes.
Mr. Belavance.
Yes.
Mr. Belzano.
Yes.
Mr. Alexander.
No.
Mr. Gates. He may be muted. Hang on a sec. Mr. Gates.
Thank you. No.
Going back to Mr. Salerno, I think he's having a sound problem. Give me a second. Mr. Salerno. Mr. Chair, I don't think Mr. Salerno is hearing anything. Let me, okay. I don't know if I can fix that quickly or not.
Okay.
I think he's trying to sign back in. His vote won't change the result.
Okay. Why don't we just call the vote then?
We have 12 yeses, four noes, and zero abstentions.
All right, thank you. Motion passes. Back to Chairman Alexander.
Okay. Next section, 4.3, sector reporting. To select in section 4.3, sector reporting, option two, grant the RA the authority to streamline sector reporting requirements.
Needs a second? Seconded by Mr. Godfrey. Little rationale, Chairman?
This is above my pay grade, actually. I know that the sectors work diligently with, sector managers and stuff work diligently with GAFO to try to come up with new reporting requirements every year. So I think this right here just gives the, give, instead of having it come back to us, it gives the authority to the RA to make them instead of having to go through the council process.
Okay, that's fine. Go out to the audience first. Seeing none, back to the council. Seeing none, anybody opposed to this? Raise your hand. If not, we will pass this by consensus. Next section, Mr. Alexander. Alexander, you all set?
Yeah, sorry, I thought I was unmuted. I guess I wasn't. Okay. All right. So to select in section 4.4, funding operational provisions of groundfish monitoring sectors and common pool. Suboption 2A, higher monitoring covering levels if NIMS funds are available, sectors only. And suboption 2B, waivers for monitoring requirements allowed, sectors and calling pool.
Seconded by Ms. Griffin. Little rationale?
This is the original motion. So this motion, the original motion one is the rationale for this. I mean, it gives GAFO the authority to go up on monitoring levels if they have the funds, and to allow waivers from modern requirements when there's no observers available, and to the common pool, and to the common pool waivers. So,
okay, go out to the audience first. Seeing none, back to the council. Seeing none, anybody opposed to this, please raise their hand. Ms. Denise, please, this is passed by consensus, no hands. Next section, Mr. Alexander.
Section 4.4, action five.
Sorry, it should say section 4.5. I wrote that too quickly.
Section 4.5. To select in section 4.5, management uncertainty buffers for commercial groundfish fisheries sectors. Option two, elimination of the management uncertainty buffer for sectors ACLs with 100% monitoring of all sector trips.
Needs a second. Seconded by Mr. Tracy. Little rationale?
So a lot of the, when we went out to public hearings with 100%, you know, a lot of the, for lack of a better term, carrot and stick people were held out in front of them was removing the uncertainty buffers on all our stocks if 100% of the trips were covered. So so the original rationale from the preferred option from the council holds true for that too. So
okay, great. Out to the audience first. Ms. Lorenz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Allison Lawrence with Conservation Law Foundation. We oppose this motion and support option one, no action. 100% monitoring does not address the four other elements that management, the four other elements of management that are considered when determining a buffer. And unless the council explicitly addresses those other elements, the management uncertainty buffer should not be eliminated here. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Anybody else from the audience? Seeing none, back to the council, Dr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. Ditto to what Allison just said. My points exactly.
Best speech you've given all day. Ms. Gates. Mr. Gates.
Thanks. Perhaps we should, I don't know if we could modify this motion to read that we could remove the uncertainty buffers only in years when there is 100%. When there is funding for 100% monitoring, because I don't think it's certain that we'll have 100% for every year, hopefully the first three at least, but I'm not sure that we would have it for.
Mr. Alexander, would you consider that a friendly?
Yes, I would, John.
Okay. All right. Matt, you want to speak to that?
Yes, if I may. I'm a little nervous about this just because we'll find ourselves with data streams with a changing and a fluctuating uncertainty buffer that I will imagine. I'm not sure I understand the process of stock assessment determination and modeling well enough to know for certain, but it seems to me that would play some havoc upon some of our data streams. I think having some consistency would be best, and if we don't have the robust 100% level that we went out to public comment with, I think it's better for data stream continuity to keep things status quo, no action alternative. So I will oppose this amendment, this change, however we're phrasing it. Thank you.
Okay, before we go any further, I think we should probably put that language right into the motion, not just standing aside.
Mr. Chair, it'd be helpful if Mr. Gates would suggest to us exactly how he wants it worded.
Okay, Mr. Gates, I actually, when I called on Matt, I meant Matt Gates, not Matt McKenzie, but I wasn't. Mr. Gates.
I think maybe just after the last word, insert when funding for 100% monitoring is available.
So, Mr. Chair, I wonder if you could call on Dr. Cronin for a second.
Sure, Dr. Cronin.
Appreciate the clarifications the council members are making on this alternative. Certainly, we'll review the language that we've drafted, but it's our understanding that 100% monitoring of all sector trips has to be in place for this to apply. And if it's not within 1 year, then the existing process would apply. So although we appreciate the clarification, pretty sure it's covered under the current alternative, but if it's not, this language will at least help us to better clarify the alternative we have.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bellavance, then Mr. Papalotto, then Attorney Etri. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Dr. Chairman. Sorry, I know we're running late here, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on the how this would work. And I think Dr. Kernan sort of got me there a little bit. So if under the alternative that we selected in the first section, under the first motion, if there are some exemptions that are issued for any other reason, you know, any of the reasons that were brought up earlier, then that wouldn't get to 100% coverage. So then the buffer would stay in place for that fishing year. Is that how this would work?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Papalotto.
All set, sir. Thank you.
Attorney Etri.
Thank you. So I support this motion. I'm, you know, not entirely clear on the need for adding the condition on when funding is available. Hypothetically speaking, if we got to a point where 100% was being incurred by industry, I would hope that we would equally offer them this option and not tie it solely to funding. But if that time comes, I'm sure we'll have a subsequent council action about it. Because it's been stated a few times, I think Jamie kind of alluded to this, I want to quickly take a moment and refer folks back to page 88 of the DEIS and remind them that this option retains the process where the council evaluates and sets the management uncertainty buffers, and they can be adjusted in future actions. So while I appreciate that there is some concern, we have not removed the process where we're evaluating the variety of things that go into the management uncertainty buffer. So we're not definitively, you know, committing ourselves to releasing the management uncertainty buffer in its entirety on an annual basis. So I just felt that that was important to clarify, because I think folks are looking at this as it's a definitive thing that will happen, but it just presents the option where if 100% monitoring is available, it may happen. And I think that that's very important in light of some of the comments that folks were making against this.
Okay, with that, I think I'm gonna call the vote. Is there anybody opposed to this? We could pass it by consensus. If there's no opposition, please raise your hand if you're opposed. Oh, yep, sorry about that. We're gonna have to call the vote.
For the motion on the board, Mr. Tracy.
Yes.
Dr. Sissonline.
No.
Mr. Reed.
Yes.
Ms. Griffin.
Yes.
Mr. Pentney.
Yes.
Mr. Papalotto.
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski.
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
No.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Sorry, I'm back here. Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Etri?
Yes.
Mr. Bellavance?
Yes.
Mr. Belzano?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Vote is 15 yeses, 2 noes, 0 abstentions.
Thank you very much. Back to Chairman Alexander for the next section.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I got the right version here, but I'm gonna wing it and hopefully I can be told differently. Section 4.6, removals of the monitoring requirement. To select in section 4.6, remove commercial groundfish monitoring requirements for certain vessels fishing under certain conditions. Option 3, remove monitoring program requirements for vessels fishing exclusively west of 71 degrees, 30 minutes west longitude. Both sub options 3A, remove at sea monitoring coverage requirement, sector only. And 3B, remove dockside monitoring coverage requirements, sector and common pool. and in section 4.6.4, review process for vessels removed from commercial groundfish program requirements. Option two, implement a review process for vessels removed from commercial groundfish monitoring program requirements.
Seconded by Mr. Reed. Little rationale maybe from one of you?
I'm gonna defer to Mr. Reed if you don't mind, sir. This is sure. This seems to be what he was talking about this morning when he brought up that original motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, it's exactly what I was talking about this morning. The rationale I stated earlier, but it's basically there is no groundfish to speak of west of 7130. It's not a cost-effective measure to include in the document. And I will mention that in the document under the 4.6.4.2, there is language that describes the review process, which is basically after 2 years of fishing data and every 3 years after, the PDT would review catch composition from vessels fishing on trips not subject to monitoring requirements to verify that the composition has little to no groundfish. And I will point out that NEPOP observers will be in place, so it's not like it's totally unmonitored.
All right, thank you for the explanation. We'll go out to the audience first.
Mr. Chair, I think I accidentally put Bonnie Brady's hand down. She was already, she did have it up before.
Okay, yeah, it's up now, yeah. Ms. Brady.
Yes, hi, Bonnie Brady, Long Island Commercial Fishing Association. We support this measure in its entirety.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? Ms. Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Allison Lawrence with Conservation Law Foundation. We oppose this motion, support no action. We're here today because there's a known observer effect and misreporting problem in the fishery. Until there's a baseline of accurate data established, the council should not consider exemptions from monitoring requirements. The DEIS states that this option will have negative biological impacts for regulated groundfish. The proportion of catch for certain stocks in this area, such as winter flounder, yellowtail flounder, southern windowpane flounder, and ocean pout, can be quite high, up to 60%, and three of these stocks are currently overfished. The DEIS also states this option may incentivize increased effort and possibly illegal behavior. The council should ensure that there is accurate data available to help rebuild these overfished stocks and establish a true baseline of catch. We urge you to oppose this motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Brogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gib Brogan with Oceana. We oppose this motion as well. The EIS makes a very strong case that the information about catch in this fishery is biased and not representative of what's going on the water. That is not the foundation for new exemptions and exceptions for monitoring. Wait on this, wait until the review is done. We have a few years of baseline information that is accurate and paints a good picture of what's going on in this area. And then the council should be considering exemptions. But now is premature and shouldn't be supported. Thank you.
Thank you very much. See no other hands up. Back to the council. Mr. Pentney, then Mr. Salerno.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to actually speak. I'm going to speak against this motion, but I want to say that I actually agree with everything that Mr. Reed said as his rationale for the motion. But I just believe that the motion is too far over, and it should be replaced with option two, which would be set the exclusion zone at 7230 west instead of 7130. I agree that from our review, that's an appropriate area with very, very low catch of groundfish. It's not cost effective based on the data we've seen. I agree with Mr. Reed that if we have coverage in the difference between 7130 and 7230 in 2 years, we can review that and see what the catch is and maybe the council could take a future action to move the line again. But I think at this point in time, based on what we understand as far as catch goes, we could support option two, but not option three.
Okay, Mr. Reed, I assume that's not a friendly, but I thought I'd ask.
Well, I can't accept the motion friendly or not. The original motion as the initial preferred part alternative passed the council 14-0-3, I think. It was a pretty strong vote. And the amount of groundfish that it's caught west of 7130 is minimal. It's less than 2%. Bycatch is extremely low. I mean, my calculations that on an average trip, it's 55 pounds of total groundfish and 22 pounds of discard. Most of the discards are regulatory discards because of non-possession limits. And I don't see any reason to wait for this. And I also, in my earlier amendment, I did my financial rationale for excluding these trips to benefit another sector of this fishery, and I don't think that should go overlooked. So I think we should do this now. It is of no benefit to the nation, which is what my oath commands me to do, to have coverage in this area because of the additional funding that would go to the groundfish sector that lands 98%. So I hope we can stick with this original motion and it passes. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Next up, Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Dr. Chairman. I would just like to support this motion with some numbers here. As you may or may not know, I am the groundfish sector manager for Northeast Sector 5, which is the Point Judith-based sector. We do have members that fish out of Point Judith, Shinnecock, and Montauk exclusively in the Southern New England management area. And I just want to throw some numbers out to you from last year's fishing year, 2019. The sector took 537 sector trips. Of those 537 sector trips, 110 of those trips were 20% actually had no groundfish landings whatsoever. Another 196 of those trips landed between 1 and 99 pounds of groundfish for another 36%. So I can tell you more than half the trips that occurred for this sector had less, more than half of those trips had little to no groundfish. Our top four species landed on sector trips is skates at 2.5 million pounds, scallops at 329,000 pounds, fluke at 139,000 pounds, and then we finally get to our first groundfish stock, which is Southern New England blackback at 73,000 pounds. Our next groundfish stock came in at number nine on our top list at cod of 5,000 pounds. So as you can see, most of the activity, at least for the day boat fleet in the Southern New England region that would be fishing in this area, really this groundfish is more of a bycatch fishery to their other fisheries. And I know there's some concerns in the past about the Southern window pane catch in the Southern New England region. And I could just point back to the CV analysis that has been conducted between 2010 and 2018. According to that analysis, the coverage needed to achieve the 30% CV on Southern window pane catch is between 2 and 5%. I know that the PDT analysis did show that there is potential bias and misreporting and what have you, but only one of those documents actually had any direct reference to the Southern New England region. And that was the discard incentive model that showed that there was potential discard incentives in the first couple of years of sectors, the 2010, 11, and 12 fishing year. And for anyone to draw any hard conclusions on the lease market in the first couple of years of sectors is a little off base there. All I can say is that when there is no allocation for these guys, they don't go out and cheat. They basically just go out and DOF fishery and they're dumping these fish legally. And I just want to point out, you know, this, without this motion, you are basically putting a lot of resources and money into such a little component of the catch. By my rough calculation, based on the last 4 years of sectors, you're talking about $500,000 to monitor peanuts compared to the groundfish fishery. And that money would be better spent in other regions where groundfish is the actual target and catch of the fishery. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Salerno. And I think with that, I will call the vote on this motion.
Council members, please answer yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwine?
Yes.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
No.
Mr. Pappalardo?
No.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
No.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Itri?
Abstaining.
Mr. Bellavance?
Yes.
Mr. Belzano?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Thirteen yeses, three noes, and one abstention. Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Motion passes for section 4.6. Back to Chairman Alexander.
Okay, I got one more. And it has my co-chair, Rick Bellavance's name on it. So I guess it's part of the original one, but I'll read it into the record and we'll see where it goes.
Okay.
In section 4.6.4, review process for vessels removed from the commercial ground fish monitoring program requirements, option two, 4.6.4.2, implement a review process for vessels removed from the commercial ground fish monitoring program requirements after 2 years of fishing data is available. And every 3 years after that, the PDT would review catch composition from vessels fishing on trips not subject to monitoring requirements to verify that the catch composition has little to no ground fish.
Second by Mr. Bellavance.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think this one might have been included in the previous motion. I'm looking to Jamie here. She might want to weigh in.
Yes, I think it was incorporated in the previous motion. I think there was a drafting of this motion I incorporated in case folks didn't pass that other one. So I don't think this one's necessary to bring up again.
Okay, that's great. No problem with that. We'll move on to the next section.
Be happy to know that we've gotten through all the sections of the document.
Yes, but I believe Ms. Ware has a motion that she'd like to bring up under Amendment 23, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, Ms. Ware.
Thank you. I had emailed this to staff. Sheree, I don't know if you have it, but if you don't, it's really short, so I can say it if need be. But it's move to add to the list of framework items all action or all alternatives in section 4.0. And if I get a second, I will provide rationale.
Seconded by Terry Alexander.
So this motion is allowing just for future flexibility and agility in the management process. Kind of through the motions today, we've signed the council up for some reviews and then potential adjustments. And I think it's important to be able to make those changes in a timely fashion. And I think it also provides the flexibility to adopt or reconsider things we didn't choose today, like dockside monitoring. It's also my understanding that the council can always elevate something to the amendment level if it's contentious or warrants a greater level of analysis and comment.
Great, thank you. I'm gonna go out to the audience first. I see none. Back to the council. Dr. McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a question for the service. Whether it's a framework or an amendment, it still has to go through the same review process for either an EA or an DEIS. Is my thinking correct in that?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Bitney.
Yes, it is. The distinction, the NEPA distinction for an EA versus an EIS is independent of the council process that would establish the authority for a framework adjustment versus requiring an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Bentley.
Thank you. I see no other hands up. If anybody objects to this, please raise their hand. If not, we'll pass this by consensus. See no hands raised, Mr. Neese, this passes by consensus. All right, back to Chairman Alexander.
We only have one more motion, and I believe Mr. Belovitz is going to make that.
Okay, Mr. Belovitz.
Under the section, anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the council submit Amendment 23 as amended today to NOAA Fisheries.
Okay, needs a seconded by Terry Alexander. All right. Out to the audience for any comment. Seeing none, back to the council. Oh, wait, sorry, Mr. Jackie O'Dell, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to say before the council took action on this final motion, I just want to just say quickly that NSC recognizes the value and importance of monitoring. We've encouraged and supported efforts to improve monitoring in the groundfish fishery. NSC, as you know, has submitted lengthy comments expressing the insufficiencies in the DEIS and how the DEIS cannot be used as a basis to justify 100% coverage. The available information does not support the DEIS assumption that there's a widespread or substantial problem of underreported catch in the fishery. Analyses included in the DEIS do not provide evidence that the proposed changes in monitoring coverage targets will significantly improve groundfish stock assessment and management performance. Additionally, because Amendment 23 is solely focused on the federally permitted commercial groundfish fishery with no proposed measures for recreational state water fisheries, expected reductions in fishing mortality and improved accuracy of reported catch resulting from increased monitoring requirements will only apply to 50% of the catch of key stocks like Gulf of Maine cod. Long-term affordability of monitoring for the fishing industry continues to be a critical matter. We urge the council to address affordability of the program over the long term and consider costs in terms of X vessel revenues to ensure a long-term profitable fishery. In the short term, we urge the council and the agency to not waste this time afforded by the motion that was approved and the target coverage today by the council, and to use this time to collect necessary information so that we can move forward and have the discussion over the long term for what levels are appropriate for long-term industry payments. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Cornan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will wait till the end of everyone's comments. I wanted to run through the council's preferred before taking the vote to confirm everything that was done today.
All right, why don't you do it now then?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Quickly, I will walk through each section. Hopefully you're looking at your decision document and you can agree that this is the motions that you made today. So you spent a lot of time in section 4.1, that was to determine fixed total at sea target monitoring coverage levels. That was based on looking at 100% with some provisions for a default level at 40, and that this be funded by NIMS under certain conditions, including available funding. There was a review process that went along with that, which will be incorporated into the document. The second thing that you discussed was also wanting to know what that monitoring coverage level would, what kind of sector monitoring tools could be used. So in addition to at sea monitoring, you also approved the audit model as well as the maximized retention model for your proposal to the agency. You also wanted to know if in the event there wasn't 100% level funded by the agency, what would that other monitoring level be? And you'd like to know that at a time certain. You talked about having a review process for sector monitoring coverage, incorporating some of your thoughts on that first motion, as well as some things developed under the alternative we have in place, and the list of framework items that could be considered under this section. Then in section, 4.2, you decided that at this time you declined to develop a dockside monitoring program, taking no action in this section. It doesn't prevent sectors from developing that within their sector monitoring program, and certainly does not prevent them from developing that with alongside the maximize retention program. And then in section 4.3, this is the sector reporting section. You did put in your proposal to grant the RA the authority to streamline sector reporting requirements. That would be option two in that section. And under section 4.4, which is the funding operational provisions of the groundfish monitoring program section, you had two options here that you put forward under option two, both allowing for higher monitoring coverage levels if NIMF funds are available, and then waivers for monitoring requirements allowed under certain provisions. That's sub-option 2A and sub-option 2B. In section 4.5, you put forward option two, which is the elimination of management uncertainty buffers for sector sub-ACLs with 100% monitoring of all sector trips, and you discussed what that would look like with 100% funding. And finally, in section 4.6, which was just discussed a little while ago, you talked about which types of trips would be removed from coverage requirements, and those are the ones exclusively west of 71 degrees 30 minutes west longitude. And you also talked about how you would review that information and a discussion of how that would occur. And last, you added an additional motion to make sure that all items in section 4.0, which is the alternative section of the document, could be added to the list of framework items to be considered in a future action, so that in the event that they are items that are available for a framework, they could be done in potentially a faster, more swifter adjustment to the program as needed. Thank you.
Great, thank you for the summary. I see Attorney Eitri's hand is up for comment to the pending motion.
Thank you, sorry, almost accidentally put my hand down. So I'm gonna make this brief. I don't think it's gonna be really surprising for many folks, but while I commend my fellow council members for rising to the challenge this morning and offering up a compromise solution that I hope will more help us clearly understand and define the perceived problems in this fishery, I'm not gonna be supporting moving this amendment forward because I fundamentally believe it contains numerous flaws and deficiencies. I had written this statement thinking that maybe things would progress, quickly. I don't know why I thought that. So I'm going to try to make this brief and abbreviated. I think the comments that we have received to date have highlighted the flaws, have highlighted the concerns about the analysis. I want to quickly point out that, I feel that we have multiple national standards that we're not addressing in this action, and one that I find most problematic and one that I feel led to such a belabored discussion today and over the course of the development of this amendment is I feel as if we're not actually pursuing things with the best scientific information available. I will remind the council that when we had the PDT analysis peer reviewed, the SSC subpanel concluded that the PDT analysis could be, that when they were asked if the PDT analysis could be used to identify and analyze monitoring alternatives, we were told that it does not quantify the magnitude of the problem of unaccounted for discards. They identified a few analyses that could be used to provide estimates of total quantity of unreported discards relative to ACLs and ABCs with some additional refinement. We had a discussion at a former council meeting because the magnitude went to the key of the question we were trying to solve, which was, what level of coverage do we need in order to deal with what this perceived problem is? And this council, knowing that we had recommendations from the SSC peer review, chose expediency and sticking to a timeline versus working through those analysis. To me, I think that that put us exactly where we are, where we were this morning. And I think that it created a document that does not satisfy various laws and did not provide us with the information to truly be able to make the decisions that we were trying to make. Yesterday, I took my council oath for the third and final time, and I truly believe in the council process. I believe it's meant to afford all stakeholders an open and transparent, deliberative forum to identify problems and craft solutions. I've approached every task placed before me with this belief, and I focus on honoring the oath I took yesterday in everything that I do as a council member. It's not about winning for me. It's not about crafting solutions that benefit the few at the expense of many. And it most certainly is not about making assurances based off of making decisions based off of assurances and promises about things that we have no definitive knowledge that will really come to fruition. I don't believe this amendment is appropriate. I don't believe I'm honoring my oath and voting it forward, and I won't be doing that now.
Thank you very much, Attorney Ikri. Back to Chairman Alexander.
Yeah, I came into this morning thinking I was not going to be able to support what the council came up with today. I guess I'm polar opposite of Libby. I'm going to support what we've done here today because I think the council stepped up to the plate and did their job. So that's my rationale for what will be my yes vote on submitting Amendment 23. So just want to lay that out.
Great. Before I call the vote, I just wanted to say a couple of things. I think, you know, we started out today with some polar opposite positions. Some still remain there, but I think we're able to come together and get to something that neither side is 100% happy with, and I think that's the definition of compromise. A couple of people I want to thank, certainly Chairman Alexander, who has been stepped in here with the departure of Chairman Stockwell and has done a great job with the staff, has done a tremendous amount of work on this. I want to give Terry Stockwell a shout out, the longtime council and groundfish chair, who I know wish he could be here to cast this vote, and everybody else involved. So I think it was certainly people had deep-seated views and fought passionately for their positions. And now I think today we've brought this to a conclusion, at least for now. So with that, Mr. Neese, please call the roll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the vote to submit Amendment 23, Mr. Gates.
Yes.
Mr. Alexander.
Yes.
Mr. Balzano.
Yes.
Mr. Belavance.
Yes.
Ms. Ikri.
No.
Mr. Godfrey.
Yes.
Ms. Patterson.
Yes.
Mr. Salerno.
Abstain.
Ms. Ware.
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie.
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski.
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo.
Yes.
Mr. Pentney.
Abstain.
Ms. Griffin.
Yes.
Mr. Reed.
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwein.
Yes.
Mr. Tracy.
Yes.
Vote is 14 yeses, 1 no, and 2 abstentions. The motion carries.
Thank you very much. That concludes part 1 of the Groundfish Committee report.